Hello and welcome to
Ghost Pain,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched Shin Godzilla from 2016, directed by Hideaki Anno and Shinji Higuchi, who's a co-director. And I saw this guy's working on Shin Ultraman, which I'm pretty excited about because that's one of the shows I would wake up at like 4 in the morning to watch when I was in middle school. But Anno, of course, is the man, the myth, the legend, the guy behind Evangelion, which I've been a fan of since I was a child. And you combine that with Godzilla, which is something that I've watched since I was like 4 years old. And this is like the perfect blend. So that is like immediately something I'll get into before we start talking about spoilers. By the way, we saw this in theaters and finally watched it again recently, but it's been like a little while. We try to record pretty close to watching movies and we were like, eh, whatever, like we've seen this twice now, we know what we're talking about. But I opened my notes and the only note that I wrote is giant lightsaber, so that's great.
Okay,
that'll make sense once we talk spoilers. But I feel like a lot of the conversation around this when you're talking like modern Godzilla movies winds up being Shin Godzilla versus Godzilla Minus One, the big acclaimed masterpiece. We already did an episode on that, and I think most people fall into the like Godzilla Minus One camp. I think you're one of those people, right?
Mm, yes.
But me, I've always preferred Shin Godzilla because it's just so fucking weird. And I'm always going to side with stuff that is weird and makes a big, bold step like this.
Takes a big old bite.
A big old Godzilla sized bite. Yes. But this, yeah, it when we saw in theaters, like I knew going into it that Anno was involved, and I think this was like a dream project for him because his lifelong thing has been Evangelion. He's done like way too much Evangelion, and I think he was in the middle of doing the Rebirth movies when this opportunity came up, and he was like, oh no, fucking stop everything, this is like his dream to make a Godzilla. And I think the most surprising thing when I first saw it is that like it feels so much like Evangelion. Like it is totally his language in every way, like the visual language, even the soundtrack. It has music from Evangelion, like not remixed or anything, it's literally just the fucking music. It's like, damn, like he's really in deep with that, like he really has his own style. And the other thing that is like Evangelion is that it is fucking weird. Like it's a weird, very different take on Godzilla that can be very gross and shit, which again, that's my shit, I'm totally here for it. And I think the way I'd sum it up, if you haven't seen it without spoiling it, is that like it is, I mean, like Evangelion, it is very much about the government bureaucracy behind like an event like this. Like if you were being attacked by Godzilla, like the focus in this movie isn't so much on, you know, Godzilla like fighting shit and fucking it up, which I think is what like some people who just don't get it complain about. There's much more focus on the government response and all the bureaucracy involved there, which gives the movie like a very different tone, and it feels very different from like every other Godzilla movie. But all the stuff around Godzilla himself and the creature effects and the destruction and everything is still fucking awesome. And it's like I said, it's a very different, bolder take, I think, that I'm in love with. I mean, how do you feel about it?
I love this movie. I think the creature design's really cool.
So. It's also, yeah, it's much more of like a horror take on Godzilla. And I think rewatching it now, I think the big thing is that I guess I was so wrapped up in the, like the Godzilla stuff was so shocking to me. And the pace and the way that it handles dialogue, the way it's so much like Evangelion, I was so caught up in that, that watching it again, I can understand that like there is this period toward the middle of the movie that does feel kind of drawn out, where it feels like they're really driving home the themes and what he's doing, and it just hammers that over the course of like an hour. And it does feel like I wish that they'd been able to do more with this idea, because I know he had some big ideas that were cut from the ending. So I wish it had gotten even weirder and gone into that more, but I still think it's fantastic. I still think it's just such an original idea. Yeah, I don't want to spoil too much here up front, but it does have like... it has very crazy effects. Like the style of the visual effects in this. I think it did the thing before Godzilla Minus One, where even though it's basically all CGI, I don't think they really used much practical for Godzilla, at least from what I've seen of like the behind the scenes stuff. But they try to make it look like the old school practical version, where he's kind of stiff and like the way he moves and stuff, except he just looks ugly as fuck and it's awesome. Like, he looks a lot more like a monster in this. And there's especially some stuff early on, which I think caught people off guard. Like when Godzilla first shows up, you know, because that shit is so weird and so gross. Because I think you didn't have a ton of experience with Godzilla before this, right?
No, you really
opened the door.
Yeah, you really brought me into the Godzilla world.
Brought you
world.
Into the kaiju freak world.
Yeah.
So what was it like when you first saw it in theaters then?
When we went?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was duh.
I mean, what were you like expecting from it?
I don't know what I was expecting. I think we probably saw a very small trailer before we went.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got there to the theater, it was like super hype. Like,
oh, fuck it. Godzilla fans will come out, that's for sure.
I just remember the theater being completely packed. And everyone was so excited.
I think this was like a pretty limited release, because this wasn't like Godzilla Minus One felt like a much bigger, like more Hollywood style release. This was like very small and it was only like the freaks that came out.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely like a lot of energy from that, I think.
Yeah, I do think I remember seeing like a small group of like friends from like college that were there too.
Oh, yeah.
So it was
like film freak friends.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone was super hyped for this movie. I think this is probably one of the very few movies where there's just like that really good vibe in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone's excited and yeah.
I feel like, yeah, if when you watch niche stuff like this, it can go one of two ways. Like, one is, yeah, like everyone's just fucking pumped. There's like good energy. And the other is like when we would go to anime movies and people would be singing the theme song in the middle of the movie
and
shit.
And like have their shoes off for some reason. Like, don't do that. That's
so,
not okay.
It's so specific, so accurate. But I think that's happened like more than one time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Guys, keep your shoes on.
You already have a reputation for being fucking weird. Don't take that in public, please. You're hurting the rest of us too. You bring us all down.
Anyway.
No, but I do. That's part of the fun of, because we do go see the big anime releases sometimes where they have them for like a weekend. And there's like a dubbed version and a subbed. So it's like, you know, if you're going to the subbed one, you're going to get the real fucking freaks just like us.
Yeah.
But some of them go a little too far. But what about the movie?
Oh, my God. I love the movie. Yeah. I remember when we left the theater, I was thinking about it like days after. I loved it.
I think it totally has that effect, especially if you're not like totally into the Evangelion world, because I don't know if we'd watched it by then. I know I like forced you to watch it at some point.
Yes, you did. And I want to say I we had probably watched Evangelion by this point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you already are picking up on the how similar it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we need to get spoilers so we can start talking about it, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to try to rank this above Godzilla Minus One. Because
okay.
I still love this movie. Let's get to spoilers. So yeah, what I was saying earlier, which I guess I can go into, it's funny because if you haven't watched Evangelion, you know, Evangelion is so to give a little perspective, since I was a super fan from like the beginning, buying the VHS tapes from Suncoast, or at least begging my mom to, because I was in like middle school, to pay $30 for one tape that had two fucking episodes on it.
Yeah, how did that conversation go?
Oh my God, everyone today is so spoiled. Like, you don't even understand. But Evangelion, the whole context that you might have even missed because you're not in this world, is that it was this very typical like mech anime where it's like, oh, the little boy piloting the mech to go fight aliens, but they go really hard into the politics and the idea of like, no, he's a fucking child soldier. Like, imagine the psychological effect this would have, and you know, all the government bureaucracy behind this organization. It's like all that kind of stuff, which kind of flipped the genre on its head. And he brings that into Shin Godzilla. Because even though there's always been the themes in the background about, you know, the effects of nuclear war. And, you know, Godzilla has always gone pretty deep into that and like the social impact of an event like this. This one goes a lot more into the specific government response and specifically like how slow and how much red tape there is around like these major events, where as soon as, you know, Godzilla shows up pretty early in the movie, there are these crazy fast-paced scenes of people just going back and forth talking about like, I need to sign this paperwork and go contact this person, and oh, you can't talk to this guy, you gotta talk to his supervisor because that's the properly like respectful thing to do. And it's like all that stuff they have to go through while people are dying and having their homes wiped out, and it's just such a slow moving machine. I think it's like I said in the beginning, that part of it keeps the pace going like at this lightning speed where it can be kind of hard to follow. And I think it kind of gets away from itself in the middle of the movie, because the middle feels like this movie is kind of like you have the big Godzilla scene in the beginning. You have this middle section where they're reacting to it, and then Godzilla comes back, and it's a lot of like them coming up with a plan to defeat him, which is a classic Godzilla thing. Godzilla Minus One does the exact same thing, you know, where everyone has to come together. And even the plans are like very similar in the two movies, you realize, because they're both like injecting him with something, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there are people who complained about that part when it first came out. But I think, watching it again, I can definitely admit that there's a certain point where it's kind of like, we get it, Anno. Like, we get what you're doing here. And it just goes on and on and on for a very long time. And while I'm happy with all the Godzilla we got, I do wish they had been able to do more with the ending and with, like, the little human Godzillas that are evolving out of him, because he had much bigger ideas. I think the movie would have been stronger if they could have condensed the stuff in the middle a bit and included that. But let's talk about that first Godzilla appearance. That's the like iconic thing from this movie, because he looks fucking gross as shit. Like, what were you thinking when that, because that's the first time you see him in the movie.
I think it was really cool how it was really like Godzilla's like birthed from the ocean, right?
Oh yeah.
So
it's like a weird fish evolution.
Yeah, I thought that was like such an insane way to like show it happening.
Yeah.
Like, not only is it, yeah, I mean, usually it's like Godzilla, you know, comes out of the ocean and destroys the city, but to actually watch Godzilla like evolve in real time was like really cool. And the creature designs in between that like explained like each evolution was really crazy.
I feel like I was like laughing as soon as you first see him.
He looks like a little raw chicken. He's like, cool.
Laughing in a good way, because his eyes are like rolling around in weird directions. He has a little stubby arms.
That's
and
literally my favorite Godzilla. Yes,
and it looks like someone's just taking like an action figure and just like shoving it through a city or something, because it's moving so awkward. It's like
he's like squirming around.
Yeah, like how did they even animate that shit? They made it look so stupid. Cool. It's like stupid and cool at the same time. That right away, I remember even the first time being like, oh fuck yes. Like, this is so weird and gross. And I think that's the charm that works for me as a fucking weirdo. That's why I love this one so much, because even though Godzilla Minus One is like fine pristine cinema with these amazing effects, it doesn't get weird like this, you know.
No,
I'm always gonna love the weird shit. But even later when he does evolve and come out, like, that design of Godzilla is definitely the scariest. Like, this is the most like horror that I think Godzilla has ever been.
He looks fucking gnarly as hell.
Fuck yes. He just looks pissed.
Yeah.
Like, he looks mean as hell.
He looks pissed to exist.
I need to get one of the action figures of this. I've seen them and they look so fucking cool. Like, I want to get like a life-size one, honestly.
Oh my god, that'd be so cool.
It's so cool. And the reason I wrote down giant lightsaber, I guess it's the one thing that I thought of. I was like, I want to mention that. I can remember the rest off the dome, but it's because when I think part of why I was like so hot on it the first time and wasn't really paying attention to my criticisms is because the scene when he's full formed and he goes ham on the city was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
It was so crazy cool, because it's everything from in the beginning when, you know, his The spikes on his back are glowing like they normally do. It looks so much more radioactive. Mm-hmm. And you see that smoke coming out that looks like exhaust from like a nuclear reactor or something that then turns into this fire that just covers like the whole city. And then it's when like even that was just so fucking cool. But then when he lights up and fucking lasers come off and just like slice everything, it was like someone took a giant lightsaber from like the corridor video and just cut through the city. Like, it's so fast and so devastating.
Wait, Corridor needs to do that.
I think they did.
Wait, no.
Well,
really?
With Godzilla?
Well, yeah. Yes. Like specifically, like, slicing a city with a lightsaber.
That'd be so cool. I think they have a video that's, like, a mile-long lightsaber that they swing around. But that's what all I could think of was, like, damn. But it's funny because it's so nuts and so over the top. But it's also the way that, you know, it's all this buildup with everyone trying to figure out like who's the department head, who's the person that we need to talk, like giving the proper respect to these stations. And when that happens, remember, it wipes out the prime minister. Mm-hmm. And all the top like cabinet people just boom, like instantly. Yeah. And it's so like cold because it cuts through so fast. It's not even like this big shocking, you know, explosion or anything.
They don't have time.
Yeah, it's just, it's so quick and it literally just chops the head off the whole government organization. So everything, their response has to change after that. That, like, as a part of the story, works so, so well and is so effective. It's just such a cool fucking movie.
It is a very cool movie.
I think the other thing that I noticed even the first time, though, that was so silly is, honestly, they have like American actors in this too, and people mm-hmm. speaking English, and it feels like I always wonder when I'm listening to Japanese voice acting, I can't tell if they're a good actor or not. It's like it all just sounds good. It's part of why subtitles work so well, is you don't focus on that. You have to wonder if like Anno is hearing these English actors and they're like, yeah, that's good enough. Because it sounds like he's taking people off the street who like have the flattest affectations and everything. It's just, it feels like so out of place in the movie. I don't know. Even that is just kind of silly and just adds to like the camp of it. Mm-hmm. I showed you the like concept art of all the ending stuff. He's going to turn into this big, crazy mm-hmm. angel-looking thing.
Yeah, it sucks that couldn't happen, because that would have been really cool.
I think it was literally just budget stuff, unfortunately. Because that's the other thing, is I think the all the bureaucracy and shit, like, I think that helps the budget, too. Because it's like, all right, let's take some time away from the Godzilla special effects and do this stuff. But it's cool, because, I mean, this one came out at a time when we hadn't really seen this kind of a serious movie, not to like denigrate the old Godzilla movies, because I love them all. But you know what I mean? It's like it's taking the subject matter more seriously, the way Godzilla Minus One does. It's not as like campy. And one of the things that has always been a complaint with these movies is that the stuff with the humans can be like really fucking boring. It could be kind of a slog. And it's like, all right, can we just get to the Godzilla fucking stuff up? So that's like the focus of it. And in this movie, making the human story something that is so active and, you know, there's no like dry, boring moments. It's like moving, moving, mm-hmm. moving constantly. I think that was a good choice too. And it just makes it feel, like I said, very unique.
Yeah, it's like overly dramatic, but also realistic at the same time. Like, you know, there's a disaster. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah. But I still love this movie. Still think it's great.
I do too.
You have anything else?
You want to rank this? Is that what you're trying to get at? You're like, let's go. Let me just put it at the top already.
Okay. You can go to GhostBeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. All right, I got a spot. How about Above Godzilla Minus One and Below the Substance?
Okay.
All right. That puts it at number 16 on our list. And you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. And you can also check out our little videos on TikTok and YouTube. What's your favorite Godzilla pre-Shin Godzilla? I will judge you completely for this, but let me know. Bye.
Right now, you can join the YMCA for just $1. If you're ready to build a stronger routine, this is the best time to make your move. At the YMCA, you're joining more than a gym. You're joining your family's go-to place, your first swim place, and your after-work place all in one. $1 opens the door to 13 YMCA locations, virtual, on-demand workouts, unlimited fitness classes, and discounted programs. This $1 opportunity ends December 31st. Join today at YMCAColumbus.org/dollar.